This is Windows Observer Launch Control. We are just seconds away from the start of the Observe Tech podcast. Stand by for final sequencing and launch. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we have launch of the Observe Tech podcast. Keeping an eye on Windows and other things tech, here is your host, Richard Hay of WindowsObserver.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Observe Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Rich Hay from WindowsObserver.com. Good to be back with you today for episode 76 of the Observe Tech Podcast. I want to remind everybody as we get started that we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's there. Check out techpodcast.com. And while you're visiting techpodcast.com, several of the shows that are there participated in the TPN coverage of CES 2013 last week. So if you visit tpn.tv, you can see all of the video and floor video and interviews they did in their booth in the North Hall or just outside the North Hall as they start to get them all prepared and uploaded online. So you'll be able to see all of the stuff that was live broadcast as well as the stuff that was ran overnight when they weren't live broadcasting. So check out techpodcast.com and TPN TV for all their CES coverage. As we get started this morning, want to talk a little bit about some stories that are floating around the web. Had an opportunity last night to sit in with Dave and Jim from the Home Server Show and SurfaceGeeks.net and talk a little bit about post-CES and CES wrap-up. And we talked about a lot of the storage technology that was seen, and we also covered some of the Windows 8 type stuff, the tablets and the convertibles and the all-in-ones and all the different devices that were announced by several OEMs last week. So, and Dave got some great looks up close of some nice hardware from Lenovo, MSI. So make sure you go check him out as well, because they really do have some great video and stuff. And we'll put a link to their show pages on the show notes page for this podcast. So digging into a little bit of news, let me get my browser going here. And we're going to start off by talking about a story that was written by Adrian Kingsley Hughes on ZDNet. He's a regular contributor there. He writes under a Hardware 2.0 kind of blog title. But his headline is Microsoft Surface Needs a Reboot. And he gives suggestions about how to do that. Now, I'm not going to run through everything. He talks about several different reasons why Microsoft is facing some pretty challenging things right now with Surface in the PC market. We've talked about the fact that the PC market is very stagnant right now. It's not moving well. It was definitely in a decline last year. And you know, everybody's pointing to the release of Windows 8 as not having boosted it as it was expected or as typically happens with Windows OSs. But all that aside, Windows sales we talked about last week, 60 million licenses, it's selling well. So, you know, without getting wrapped around that, I just want to comment on a couple points that Adrian made in his story. Talking about, you know, what the Microsoft needs to do in order to kind of reboot Surface. Now get Surface RT's been out for just over 2 months. Surface Pro hasn't even come out yet. It's expected in about 2 weeks or so. So it's just interesting reading. And so let me find my spot in the story that just really caught me off guard. He suggested a renaming of of Windows RT and that it be called Windows Tablet or something like that. Drop the RT because it doesn't mean a whole lot of anything. All of us knows that Windows RT is not Windows in the true sense of the word as we know Windows on a desktop. He suggests cut the price. Here's the one that really caught me that kind of just caught me off guard. Extend the Surface branding to a select number of tablets from other OEMs, that this would help give the brand more traction and help it to grab market share. And my big disagreement there is that Microsoft, you know, they surprised everybody last summer. I know sales aren't great. We're going to talk in a little bit about what the current analysts say the sales were for Surface RT. But why on earth would Microsoft want to give up that brand name, allow other OEMs to put that brand name on their equipment? Now, I get, and we've seen out of CES and several other venues, that OEMs are getting better. They're getting very creative with the new hardware. And so it's great to see all these new form factors. But why on earth, when Microsoft built Surface in order to set a standard, you know, as Charlie Kendall put it, to have a North Star to show OEMs how to build it right, why on earth would Microsoft want to hand that over to OEMs to possibly paste that name on a just inferior piece of equipment? Now, that's not... We know the challenge that's been over the years with Windows and OEMs, and they're trying to, you know, they got razor thin margins. They're trying to, you know, save as much as they can, and it's turned out just very poor hardware. So I'm not, I definitely do not agree with that part. Now, some of this other stuff that he mentions, and go read the story because he does have some good points, but I think we got to give this a chance. Microsoft in the world of hardware, we all know the history of Xbox. We know that, Xbox lost money hand over fist year after year, and now look at Xbox, 24 months on top of the pile in the U.S. for the top console being sold. It is making money, and we're going to talk a little about it. I want to get to the story before I get to the story about Surface sales, so we're going to hit that in a minute, but Microsoft knows how to stick with a piece of hardware they build and get behind it and persevere through the times when it's when it is not a winning proposition and may just be kind of lukewarm being received. I think that's going to change a lot with Surface Pro. I think Surface Pro is going to draw a lot more people into it. But there's more to be seen there. But I just can't imagine that Microsoft would want to give away their Surface name to other OEMs to put on their tablets. So, all right. Next story I want to mention is one from Windows IT Pro and Paul Thurrott. He talked about Windows 8 for the win, talking about touch, talking about mobility, and talking about the cloud. And that really is, you know, where we're headed down this technology road, what we're going to be seeing in the future. So he has a great post here about the kind of reasons why he thinks Surface and Windows 8 in and of itself is a real winner. And he talks about having going over to a friend's house to watch a football game, but needing to do a little bit of work, took his Surface, and was able to edit his document, do his work that he needed to do, catch up on a few other things while he watched TV and watched the game. And it's a valid point. You know, Surface RT especially, I've arrived at the fact it's not going to totally replace your desktop. It just can't. The compatibility issue with legacy apps. But you know what? Surface RT is an awesome companion machine. Ed Bott has used that term before. I think I've even used a similar term in the past, and so have others. It's perfect for those quick trips, going to meetings, because all of your data is in the cloud. If you're using it right, your data is in the cloud, and you're syncing your content so it's accessible to you on your desktop or on the tablet. So it's interesting because so many people look at Windows 8, don't see a start screen, and that is the immediate recognition of failure for them because there's not that familiar piece on the OS anymore. And we've talked about, you know, even Paul Thurrott calls it a wondrous mess or something like that of this mishmash of two interfaces. But it one was a necessary step. Two, you know, Microsoft had to make a serious move into mobile and more than just mobile for phones, and Surface is that entry. Now, Windows 8, Windows RT may not be, you know, all of that. It may only be on a handful of devices. But Windows 8 on a Surface Pro and even on other manufacturers' gear, which we're seeing is coming out in great stuff, looking stuff, and I'm looking forward to seeing it hands-on. I think Windows 8 is going to be just fine. It's just going to take a little bit of time. It's going to be steady as opposed to this rocket going up into the air when it comes to sales. There was a story on Seattle Tech Flash about Microsoft employees' confidence in Steve Ballmer, their CEO. And in 2012, the number is 35% approval rating on employee review site Glassdoor, which is somewhere that people can go and comment about their employers. That was at the beginning of 2012 or in 2011. At the end of 2012, that had gone up to 52%, so almost a 20% increase on his approval rating from employees. Now, they say here in January it's dropped a few percent, but it's a pretty significant gain over the course of the year. You know, you compare him to other people. This story talks about Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. He's at like 91%. Sorry, I keep hitting the mic. AT&T, T-Mobile, 76%. And there's other CEOs who are up and down. But it's interesting to see that employees... Now, Glassdoor is a website that measures employee satisfaction, and it's anonymous stuff. So you have to be careful. You take that data with a grain of salt. But it certainly seems like there has been some improvement in that perception because... you know, there was a time when a lot of people were talking about whether Steve Ballmer needed to remain the CEO. at the minute Windows 8 was released, you know, there were people saying he should go because it's a failure. Well, we can't call Windows 8 a failure yet. It's barely been on the market just over 2 months. They've sold 60 million licenses, you know, and they're just entering into the hardware market. So I think it's a bit early to be saying that Windows 8 is a failure, no doubt. How about the news this week from Facebook? This story from GeekWire about Facebook's new graph search. If you listened to that announcement on Wednesday, you found out that Microsoft's Bing search engine is partnered up with that. So when you use the Facebook graph search and it looks for additional options, not on Facebook, it's linked to Bing. So Bing will be the search engine as that. And then Bing was partnered up with Facebook before as well. But this is a continued relationship and a really big deal for Bing, which has made some progress in search engine standings as well. It's making some ground on Google. So that's a good thing as well. So very positives coming out of Redmond and the association with other big industry stuff. Now here's that story from the analyst who said Microsoft Surface, they cut their estimate to sales in half to 1 million Surface units. Now, when you think about that number, if they sold us, now we've never heard a firm sales number from Microsoft. These are analysts who are looking at numbers and applying some mathematics and social engineering and guessing and coming up with the number. And we may hear here in about a week when Microsoft does their financial details for fourth quarter and for December, we may actually get a sales number on Surface RT, which will be great. It'll be good to know how many have been sold. But we know from past stories that they've increased production, and Surface Pro is getting ready to come out very soon. Panos Panay is over there at the factory in these days looking at the units, getting ready to see them come off the line and get ready to ship. But they cut it in half to 1 million. And you got to think about this. Even with 1 million sold, at the minimum price for a 32 gig Surface RT with no keyboard, that's $500 million in sales. That's not shabby. I mean, I read somewhere that Microsoft measures success for a product when you hit $1 billion in sales. And Surface in the first 2 months is already halfway there. So, and that's just assuming minimum price, no keyboard. And we all know that people bought the 64 gig unit. We know that people bought it with the keyboard. So that number could be anywhere between $500 million and probably 750 million. So it'll be interesting to see if Microsoft brings out any numbers when they do their financial details next week. Great how-to geek tip. He explains what a virtual private network is. If you've never used a VPN and you're curious about it, you hear about it. He's got a great explanation on how to geek about that. So that's a great how to. Quora, which is a system I've never really used a lot, but it's a place where you can go to ask a question and people provide answers. Well, they've taken 100 of their all-time best answers, and answers are judged based on the response from the individuals asking the questions and others that read it. And they've done it into a free 400-page PDF book that you can download off the web and have access to. So it might fulfill your need to answer a different question. You can look through that book, find the different questions and answers, and check it out. So just interesting that they're taking some of that data that's online on the web and moving it into a format that allows people to download it. Windows Media Player Digital Rights Management, the Windows Help blog, which is from Rob Margle from Microsoft, has a great frequently asked question about that DRM stuff when it comes to Windows Media Player. So if you need to get up to speed on that, you can check that out. LiveSide came out with a story that the new Xbox may be announced in March. Now, this is a rumor based on things that are getting heard and said, and we all know that as of a couple weeks ago, Larry Herb, or otherwise known as Major Nelson, put a countdown clock on his blog at majornelson.com that counts down to E3 in June. Everybody assumed that is a big deal because it's probably about Xbox 720 or Xbox Next or whatever they're going to call it. So there's going to be a lot of rumors running around. In fact, the rumors already surfaced that the next Sony PlayStation is going maybe re-released before E3 or be announced before E3, and then probably E3 will be a big reveal for functionality and things of that nature. I mean, you can get a pretty good idea where Microsoft is going with Xbox based on the fact that, what was that guy's name? They hired him, the creator of Slingbox joins his startup, which is called ID8 R2 Studios, got bought by Microsoft, and he is an executive vice president in the interactive entertainment business part of Microsoft, the home of Xbox. Now, what his startup did was it dealt with home automation type stuff. Now, we already know where Xbox has gone with the console. It's gone to very much an entertainment-centric thing, not only gaming, but video and other activities that you can do on there, as well as Xbox Live Arcade stuff, but really has gone to becoming a multimedia type source console that puts it right back in the living room again. And it's interesting to see that this is who they gained, this is who they bought. So does that mean we're going to see on Xbox Next, Xbox 720, whatever, that we're going to see a little more integration with our home network and our home upkeep and management and stuff like that? That'll be interesting to watch and see. So we'll be keeping an eye out on that, no doubt. And of course, the rumors are only going to get more and more rampant from here. So if you follow tech blogs and they're gaming related or Microsoft related, you're obviously going to see a lot of news about this over time until we finally see that box revealed somewhere on some stage. Office 360, interesting sequence of posts from my buddy McCakins overseas in Europe, who writes for the site sometime. He keeps great track of the Windows Store and apps that are coming out. So please follow McCakins online at WordPress.com. But he noticed that his Office 365 preview was showing it was going to expire. He told everybody he'd be careful about the expiration. Turns out it wasn't expiring. Everybody's expiration date on Office 365 preview that started last year is different based on when you installed it. However, he talked to Microsoft, or someone from Microsoft acknowledged that it would auto-renew. It's not going to expire. The actual expiration date when the Office 365 preview will stop working is 60 days after Office 2013 is released. Now, that's coming soon. There is no date yet. There's lots of talk going on about pricing and licensing and things of that nature. But there is no confirmed release date yet. So when that release date hits, then 60 days later, your Office 13 preview is no longer going to work and it's going to not be accessible. You'll have to upgrade to the final product or uninstall it and stop using it. A story from ARS Technica about Windows 8 and the start menu, written by Peter Bright, otherwise known as Dr. Pizza, on Twitter. He covers and talks about several different alternative start menu options for Windows 8. Now, I'm not a fan of these, but I know a lot of listeners and a lot of readers on the website want that functionality. And so, it's a good story. He gives a good, solid, in-depth review of each of those different programs and gives you his opinion on them and what they're capable of doing. So if you are interested in reading about those and maybe taking a look at them, then please feel free to do so. He does have a very good story there on ARS Technica for that. LastPass got a big update. I've talked about LastPass over and over and over again on the web, on the website, on this show. I use LastPass to manage all my passwords. It lets me have one master password, and then all my other passwords are randomized. Several different combinations of stuff depending on what the requirement is at the website, but it has great browser plug-in for both Chrome and Internet Explorer, as well as apps on Windows 8, the Windows Phone, and now one updated for Windows Phone 8, which screams. The previous one was slow. It took a long time for it to get started up to decrypt the information. But this new version, it's not instantaneous, but it's very close to it compared to the old version. So if you're not managing your passwords, check out LastPass. If you go to LastPass.com, you can log in, you can download it. It's free. There is a $12 pro kind of subscription that I do, and I highly suggest you do it because it gives you the flexibility to use that information on all the different platforms. And $12 to help protect your security over 1 year, that's a pretty good deal, in my opinion. All right. Everybody knows. Wow, I keep hitting this microphone. Everybody knows that Steven Sinofsky, left Microsoft shortly after Windows 8 came out. He is now back to blogging. Of course, that got blogged about by everybody, but it's a blog called Learning by Shipping, and you should go check it out. It's very insightful. Of all things, Steven Sinofsky gets shipping products. It's why he did the job he did. He bailed Office out. He bailed Vista and Windows out. And he gets that kind of manufacturing and development process for product release. So go read him. He's got a great post about CES And then he also wrote, because everybody noticed on CES that he was using an iPhone to tweet from and an iPhone to do the video instead of a Microsoft product. And so in response to that, he wrote a great post about learning from your competition. And he talks about why do you go and use other people's products. And he's not talking about just for an afternoon. He's talking about getting embedded in it. I've seen Ben Rudolph, Ben the PC guy, the guy who we know is the Windows Phone guy. He does the same exact thing. He takes Android and iOS phones home for the weekend and uses them for multiple days just to get the feel for them, to understand what Windows Phone is competing against, and to really get an insight into how those phones functions. And that's what you have to do. When you look at technology, you can't just take a glance and go, oh, that's not going to work. You really have to embed yourself with it and use it so that it becomes a part of you to a point where you understand its shortcomings and its pluses. I mean, no system is perfect. You know, I'm not here to tell you Windows 8 is perfect or Windows Phone 8 or Windows Phone 7. They have their flaws. They're being developed. They're being worked on. And that's the reality. In order to know that, though, you got to work with it for a while. So I encourage you, if you're trying out a new technology, stick with it. Set yourself a goal of a time frame that you'll use it at a minimum for that long before you start to bail on it. All right? Engadget, you know, the space geek in me picked up on this. They released a video from SpaceX for their Grasshopper. Now, the Grasshopper is their reusable vertical launch and vertical landing rocket that SpaceX is developing. This is the coolest thing. And they just did a test of like 20 stories or 200 feet or something like that. But the only video we had before was an external shot of it. Now they've got video from on the one of the legs of the Grasshopper and how it goes up in the air, hovers, and just it's still, it's not waving around or anything, and then it lands. And it's just a very impressive technology. And eventually, I guess this thing, you know, is supposed to go up to like 200 miles or something like that. Unreal. So check that out. SpaceX is doing a lot of good stuff. There's a lot going on with the manned space program with all the commercial carriers and commercial companies. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, keep an eye on it because it is going to transition very quickly into manned space flight once again from U.S. soil. So please keep an eye on that. I hope everybody updated their computers this week. Microsoft released an out-of-band security update for Internet Explorer to address an issue. It came out on Monday, I believe it was. So please make sure you've ran Windows Update and you're updated on your system so that you're not vulnerable to that. You can get into the whole Java vulnerability thing. There's a patch. It didn't work or it did work. Disable Java. There's lots of stories flying around on the web like that. If you don't need Java, uninstall it or disable it until you do need it. But don't have it wide open because there are currently issues with the Java implementation from Oracle. Nokia talking about sales, the 920 on the first day in the Netherlands. Now, the Netherlands is Nokia's home front. That's their home country. But on the first day, the 920 sold out obviously was very, very popular. So that's another good sign. We already talked about the good numbers last week from Nokia for their fourth quarter and sales of 4.4 million Lumia phones amongst the rest of the sales they did. So continued good movement for Nokia when it comes to the handsets and everything like that. During CES, this story from ARS Technica, and it's on a lot of other sites as well, I mentioned last week about CNET having an issue. They were reviewing Best of CS. They were actually told by their parent company, CBS, who is in litigation against Dish about Dish's Hopper technology, which is the technology that just allows you to automatically skip commercials. And they were going to give it Best of Show. Apparently, the vote had already occurred. And it was then that they were told that they couldn't do it. It wasn't just pulled from nomination or consideration. It had actually apparently won the vote. And they had to withdraw that and do a revote to pick their Best of Show. Well, as a result of all that kind of stuff, one of the reporters from CNET who was involved in that process chose to resign. And to let me see if I can get that story to come up. Where's it at? And they opted to resign over this whole censorship thing, which is how they viewed it. They didn't have any knocks. The guy's name was Greg Sandoval, been with them for a very long time, but because of all this issues, he tweeted that he was on Monday that he was sad to report that he's resigned. I do no longer not I no longer have confidence that CBS is committed to editorial independence. So, you know, legal or not legal, it's a stand-up thing that this guy did because, you know, it brings into question the credibility of them as editors and stuff. And that's a tough position to be put in, especially by the people who sign your paycheck. So, you know, not sure where he'll come and end up at, but he has no heartburn. He said CBS and CNET were great to me. He just said his last tweet about it was, "I just want to be known as an honest reporter." So it's unfortunate it had that kind of fallout, but that's a sensitive area about how do you handle that, because as we become more and more centralized in that, you know, these media properties are bought under bigger media companies, this is going to come up more and more. And how do you deal with that? Do you maintain editorial independence? Or do you have to, you know, do these types of things that aren't necessarily what you would like to do in the first place? All right. Retailers, there's a great post on the Windows for Business blog about how retailers are getting a lot of traffic and consumer purchasing via Windows 8, via their apps. The specific apps that were mentioned in the story are Amazon, Dell, eBay, Newegg, Office Depot, Home Shopping Network are getting a lot of traffic. This data is coming from eMarketer, a market research firm, and they say in 2012, consumers spent $25 billion, 11% of total e-commerce sales while shopping on mobile devices, particularly tablets, according to recent data that they had come across. That is expected to increase by almost 56% this year. You know, we've talked about it. We're moving to mobile. We're moving mobile more and more, and we're going to have fewer of these big desktop machines. I think they're eventually going to just become docks that you plug into and you go back and forth to without even blinking an eye. And I've talked about my thoughts on that before. The technology world is changing. The way we interact with technology and the size of the device that we interact with technology is changing every day. And I think it's just going to, you know, think back to the days and the size of some of those mainframe computers that used to. My first Big Shore command in the Navy, we had a system, and it took up an entire room that was probably easily 1,200 square feet. All these tape machines and hard disk drives and storage data in the machines themselves. And now, you know, my Windows phone has got more computing power than that thing ever dreamed of having. So technology continues to fascinate and amaze. I really do believe that. Really cool story out of Engadget about a library in San Antonio that is opening, and it's only going to feature ebooks. Again, here's another level of technology that has gone to a whole nother aspect of delivering items to you. It's going to just deliver all the books on ebooks, no physical books available at all. There'll be, I'm not sure if you got to stay there to read them or you can maybe download it to your device, DRM. I haven't looked at in depth at it. It's just a very unique idea. And so it's going to be interesting to watch what happens with this and how this works out. You know, is it an expirable rental? Maybe you put it on your device and it has a timer on it that in 2 weeks the DRM locks it and you can't use it anymore unless you go check it out again or something like that. So very interesting to see that is slowly happening. Caught a blog post on MSDN. You know, I read a lot of the feeds from TechNet and MSDN blogs. But there's a story out that through 2015, that IT workers that are cloud ready, that get the cloud, that know how to work within the cloud and develop within the cloud, will grow by over 25% each year up until 2015. So that's 75% growth in the next 3 years. Or actually, okay, it's 50% growth in the next 2 years. But that is a lot of growth. And do you have the skills? If you're a programmer, if you're a developer, do you have the requisite cloud skills that will help you reach that will make you a target for employers and people who are looking for developers that get the cloud? If you're not, you may need to be looking into education and classes and certifications that get you ready for the cloud or teach you the cloud, because if you don't see it on the wall right now, cloud is already a big part of what we do. Cloud is already a big part of how we connect with the world. It's not going to go away. So you've got to be ready for the skills. So if you're a professional IT and you need those skills, you need to go find the opportunity in education for it so you're ready for it. I did share a post on Twitter. This one got a lot of discussion on Twitter. It was from the Windows Club, and it was how to change your default install location for Windows 8 store apps. they are stored in your user directory under several different hierarchies of folders. And this was a suggestion on how you could change that location. But a lot of discussion on Twitter about it afterwards, about being careful there, how that could cause issues. So when I share these tips and everything, you need to go read them. You need to review them. You need to understand the risks and the rewards of it. And then you make a decision on what you want to do and how you want to do it. That way you can be sure that you're doing what you do, and whatever you do before you take any of these steps, you back up your system, you set a restore point, you have some way to be able to go back to where you were so that you're in good shape in case it doesn't work out or you just don't like the effect or the impact of the change there. So please, any of these changes that I send you to tip sites, make sure you read them through and make sure you're ready for them with a good backup. The other story got a lot of exposure this past week was about Apple and this survey of teens that said Apple is not cool anymore, that Surface things are cool, the Surface device from Microsoft is cool. Tons of discussion on Twitter and tech blogs, but the bottom line is these teens they talk to, how many of them are buying these devices for themselves? Are they buying their own iPhones? Are they buying their own Surfaces? There are some teens that do that make decent money and work hard and get the ability to buy those types of tech items, high-ticket tech items. But many of them get the stuff from their parents. Now, granted, teens have an influence over their parents. The teen can say, I don't want an iPhone. I want a Windows phone. I don't want an iPad. I want a Windows Surface or Microsoft Surface. So they certainly can do their influence in a very similar manner and not have the money in their pocket. But it'll be interesting to see if this is truly a long-haul thing. Are teens buying more Windows products and Windows devices because they're cool now? It's still a lot to be seen on that. Still interesting reading. How about this story from CNET? A GPS, a woman in Belgium, or she's a Belgian woman, was wanting to go like 90 miles away to a train station. She put the information in her GPS, and apparently it sent her 810 miles into Croatia. Now, this just brings so many questions to my mind. You know, 800 miles is a lot different than 90 miles. I'm assuming there was a couple stops at gas stations along the way to get more gas for cars. So at what point that, you know, did 90 miles not feel like 90 miles anymore? Well, I would say after the first hour and a half. There's probably more than meets the eye on this, but a very strange story about how she was just unawares and it took her 810 miles out of her way. Microsoft HelpBridge, I posted real quick about this morning, a really nifty app from Microsoft and their citizenship branch. James Rooney is the guy who runs that team. This app is available on Windows Phone, iOS, and Android. And what it does is it connects you during natural disasters and emergencies, and it helps you, makes it easy to send out notices to family and friends on Facebook and Twitter and email to try to say you need help, or it gives you options to be able to help if you're not in an area of a disaster and you want help, say, for instance, like Superstorm Sandy and you're in California, then it gives you the ability to donate via the app to help out with that as well. So there's a short video of a couple minutes long that explains the whole app and how it connects, plus download links on that story. So please, if you get a minute, check that out. AT&T began yesterday pushing their Portico update for the HTC 8X Windows Phone devices. I updated my wife's last night. I shared on a post yesterday that it's just like updating my Nokia Lumia 920 back in December. Very similar process, very straightforward. Over the air, OTA does not necessarily mean over cellular data connection. You have to connect to Wi-Fi. So yeah, that is one aspect of it that you got to do because it's a pretty big download. But it went fine. My wife's phone updated with no problems. And, you know, people are starting to notice the expanded information on your Me tile. When you get a tweet, it just doesn't say someone tweeted you and you have to tap it to go see it. It actually puts the text of the tweet and the response in your Me tile when you do that first tap afterwards. So good update pushing out for that. Had a guest post on the blog about securing your info and online security tips. So, you know, great advice to make sure you're protecting yourself online. I took a look at, everyone knows I follow a lot of RSS feeds and I share a lot of that data via Twitter. Well, as a part of that, I use Google Reader. And Google Reader has a great kind of trends stats page that tells you how many items you saw, how many you read, how many you shared. Well, I had to take a look at CES the week before and the week after and the week of CES because you all know how much traffic CES generates on all the tech blogs and through several different websites. It was double. Just from my 130 or so feeds, I had almost double. It was like 95 point some odd percent increase in traffic during the days of CES as compared to the week before. So it just, again, you talk about information flow and information overload. People talk about how big CES is and how you can't see everything. Well, you can't see everything online either unless you're staying up 24/7 reading it. So I just thought it was interesting. I love looking at stats like that and seeing the impact of those types of events. So if you're interested in seeing the charts, they're on there on the website on the link that we will have on the show links page. Did a dynamic theme catch up. You know me and themes. I love themes. Last year, I think I created 33 Windows themes for Windows 8, Windows 7, and the zipped packages of the backgrounds. 33 of them created last year, downloaded over 4,200 times. So I'm glad everybody's enjoying the themes. But I did. It'd been a while since I updated the weekly photo updates and stuff like that. And so I chose to update you on everything. And there's a brand new picture count to tell you exactly how many pictures are in each of the Windows dynamic themes now. And I had another photo accepted into the insects theme, a picture I took of my wife's bottle brush bush with the butterfly on it and a very small bumblebee, but a small bee next to it. So I did update, and I will continue to keep you updated on the pictures that get posted each week on the dynamic themes. Windows Phone App Flow from Travis. He talked about weather apps. There's already a great discussion started on that post about other options like SkyMotion, which predicts when it's going to rain in your location. It doesn't give weather per se, but it tells you, it forecasts whether it's going to be cloudy, sunny, rainy, and how far off that's going to be. It's a very cutting-edge technology that they're using and developing for that. But good discussion happening on that post, so please go check out Storms Weathered. I did a post a few days ago that did get some good retweets on Twitter about Microsoft is driving innovation with Windows 8. When you look at what happened at CES last week and you look at the number of devices that are coming out with touch, there's only one reason those devices are coming out with touch. It's called Windows 8. And Microsoft developed that, and therefore Windows 8 and Microsoft is driving innovation when it comes to the different form factors we're going to see from OEMs of Windows machines. I don't know what that number is going to be at the end of the year for how much touch is going to infiltrate, but touch is the future of devices. I mean, we use touch so automatically on tablets and mobile phones, it makes sense that our Windows devices will become that way too. Sometime down the road, Apple's going to come out with touch. Watch, it's going to happen because it is such a part of how we interact with things. How many of you who are using a touch-based tablet, when you go to a normal laptop or a normal desktop, do you reach out and touch the screen hoping to have an interaction, hoping to have a response? It happens to me all the time. There's another thing. I know I'm getting more and more used to the Windows 8 way of doing things and how Windows 8 functions, because in desktop mode, when I'm in desktop mode, I'm no longer looking for the red X to close the window. I'm grabbing the top of the window and I'm dragging it down to the bottom. And guess what happens? It gets buried under the taskbar. I have to shut the taskbar automatically auto show, grab it again. It's crazy, but it means that, again, over time, the habits of using Windows 8 is starting to become integrated into how I use a computer. So I'm sure it's happening for many of you all as well, but that's a plus. That means you're starting to learn your way around that system and starting to get used to it. I'm ready to dump the desktop. I'm ready to work in a full touch interface and have my windows on the desktop shut the same way they do in the modern UI. That's just me right now. Windows 8 shortcuts. This one was very popular. I did that post this weekend. And there's been stories floating around on the web about the ability to add shortcuts on the desktop or on the start screen of Windows 8 that allow you to shut down the system, restart the system, sleep it, put it in sleep mode, or hibernate it. And it walks you through the instructions on how to create those and how they appear on the desktop or on the start screen. Well, I decided to create those desktops. I put them in a zip file, and I uploaded them to the web, and now nearly 300 of you have downloaded that little zip file to put those desktop shortcuts right on your desktop. It's very easy. The post explains how to do it and where you got to paste them at, but I'm glad that's working out for people and very popular that people are downloading it and checking it out. So if you're looking for a quick button to access to be able to do those four power functions with your Windows 8 device, then check it out. Jailbreaking Microsoft Surface, another one that got some good response to it. Everybody heard the news about the jailbreak and that people could run legacy apps if they're compiled for ARM, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, my big worry is why. Okay, I get that it shows off your prowess with technology and hardware and it gives you something very temporary. But ultimately, why would you want to be doing that? Why would you? Because then there's the talk of the homebrew market. And homebrew means, you know, people uploading their own apps into a repository that you can then access and download to use them. But why would you want to do that? Why would you want to put your system at risk by downloading, you know, unchecked and unknown and unproven software? Whereas like with Windows Store, there's a very extensive certification process that validates those things, make sure they don't have malware and virus actions and things of that nature in them. I get the geeky part of it, but I don't think I would ever jailbreak my device just to be permanently able to run other stuff that I can't trust. I'm just not willing to put my device and my system and my information at that kind of risk. And I hope you're savvy about it as well and you take care when you try those kind of things out. I did ask on Twitter this morning. Actually, hold on. This is related to the jailbreak and the Surface. Good story on a program called Pokey. If you go into the Windows Store, you search for Pokey, you'll see it. It's a desktop app. Basically, it's a start menu app, and it has its own app store connect to it. Now, this thing's been downloaded like 1.5 million times since it came out last April timeframe. And that's great. We know people want the start menu for whatever reason, but it has an app store tied to it. And my question mark was, who's checking that stuff? Again, it's the same argument. Who's checking that stuff for malware? Who's checking it for rogue programs embedded? I don't know. I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to put it on my system. And then this Pokey thing, they changed their little logo that is their start button, and it's the Windows flag. It's the new perspective Windows flag. And to me, that's pretty bold. You're replacing Microsoft's start menu that they no longer opt to put in the system, and you're using Microsoft's copyrighted and trademark items to do it. I am mind-boggled that that's not been shut down before now, so I don't know. This morning, I did ask a question on Twitter, though, as I was preparing for this show. And I said, you know, why do so many want a start menu on Windows 8? The functionality from it is in Windows 8 and on the start screen. And is it familiarity? And the majority of the responses was, that's exactly what it is. People are familiar with the start menu, despite the fact that the functionality is there in other places on Windows 8 and on the start screen and through the, you know, the bottom left-hand corner alt right-click and the Windows key X menu that's there and gives you access to all the kind of detailed stuff you need. So I continue to not get why. You know, Microsoft had the telemetry to show that nobody was using the start menu for more than just search. Everybody was putting stuff on the desktop for shortcuts or on the taskbar. So the start screen makes a lot of sense. You know, you open up the start screen, you just start typing and the search starts. And I wrote about in the past about how search is so integrated. And when you use Search Charm, how you can access any part of the OS from the apps to the data to the store to search for stuff. So this is, again, going back to the fact that people make very rash judgments on a system based on familiarity and loss of familiarity as opposed to putting in time to learn in the system. This past week, we did hold our first Observe Tech chat. I appreciate everybody's flexibility last week with me having to cancel. But we did have a good chat for about an hour. Lots of talk about Surface sales. We talked about the 1 million estimate that the analyst, I can't say that word, came out and talked about. We talked about the 2.5 million estimation that they're coming out about the Pro. Again, the analysts that are saying this. We talked about how the Surface Pro might do better in retail compared to Surface RT, because as we know, Surface RT was only available in the Microsoft stores and the pop-ups. So not everybody had access to those retail locations. Now with Best Buy and Staples carrying it and carrying Surface Pro from day one, will it be a different reaction? Will there be a different focus by the retailers to get those up front and center and encourage people to check them out? You can believe I'm going to my local Best Buy and Staples and seeing what they do with Pro on the day it comes out. I will be there doing photos, and you know a post about it. So it was great chat. We'll do it again next Wednesday, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. The hashtag is hashtag ObservedTech, and we'll have a discussion about whatever is up in the news at the time or whatever anybody wants to talk about. So I appreciate everybody's effort to join that chat. The last thing I want to mention is that you got to be safe out there. We know this past week with the IE vulnerability on 6, 7, and 8. By the way, upgrade to Internet Explorer 9. Upgrade to the preview of Internet Explorer 10. Nobody who's running IE 9 or IE 10 had to worry about that update. So if you're still on Internet Explorer 6, 7, or 8, it's time to upgrade your browser. Again, you've heard me before. I don't care if you upgrade to Internet Explorer. Upgrade to a modern browser so you are protected. All right, and then we, of course, had the Java vulnerability, and we had Patch Tuesday, which was last week. So lots going on. You got to stay on top of this kind of stuff because there are risks happening all the time. My email inbox is full of spam, full of phishing attempts, and they're obvious. You got to watch them. You got to be careful. So we're going to wrap up episode 76 at this point. I want you all to stay safe out there. Keep your software updated, and we'll see you next week.